Of Chief Scales or of us on this? If not, do we have a motion for the resolution?
I'll do it.
Okay.
I'll make a motion. I'll make a motion to approve resolution 2024-04 as presented.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Councilmember White?
Yes.
Councilmember Milano?
Yes.
Mayor Peritsky?
Yes.
Councilmember Villanella?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Smith?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Thank you, everyone. Agenda item 12A is an update on proposals for memorial tribute to Jeff Miller. Mike?
Yeah, Jackie will present this one.
Thank you.
Good evening. Hello, Council. Jackie Alex, Cultural Services Manager for the Town of Ponce Inlet. At last month's meeting, Council discussed proposals for the memorial tribute to Jeff Miller. Council indicated preferences for a bench, a memorial plaque, a tree, and potentially naming a trail segment in Ponce Preserve. Council also agreed it should be visible and accessible to the public. Staff came up with three location options to propose tonight. And I do have Stephanie pulling up those pictures for you. The first location proposed is at Timaquan Oaks Garden. That would be a bench, a plaque, and a tree pictured here. So just in front of that little sidewalk leading up to, we would put a bench just directly next to the gazebo where that yellow star would be. The bench, the plaque, and the tree could go in that same location at Timaquan Oaks. The second location proposed is at Kayaner's Davies Lighthouse Park. A bench, a plaque, and a tree can be placed in this location where the yellow star is located. It would be facing towards the playground at that park. It's a highly visible and well-traveled area within the park, especially during holiday events. And then the third option and location would be at Ponce Preserve. A bench and a plaque would be really great in this area. However, with a very great tree canopy, naming a trail segment would be more appropriate than planting a tree. I did provide a location, so the star would be where the bench would be located, and then naming the trail segment in red. Per grant requirements, we would have to name it with a location, such as the Jeff Miller Trail at Ponce Preserve. That would be providing direct access for those hiking or visiting the memorial. The bench would be facing the tree that is recently nominated for designation of a historic tree. Staff is seeking direction from the Town Council from these three options regarding the memorial tribute to Jeff Miller.
Jackie, thank you so much for a fine presentation. We really have three great options. So I'll open it up to the Council. Is there any preference? Go ahead, Skip. Yeah,
sorry. I'll make one comment. Again, the last place I got to see Jeffrey was at the preserve, and that was not one of his favorite places, I have to say that. And I mean it respectfully because I really think it's nice and this tree would be wonderful, but knowing Jeffrey the way I do, he didn't care for it very much. So I want to leave it at that.
Thank you for saying that. Thank you for sharing that with us. Joe?
Well, I kind of like option A, only because over the years, I have seen Jeff many times kind of take a break in the car, you know, or working there. So I think it's a place that he frequented. Option one.
Option one. Bill?
I kind of agree.
Yeah.
It's more Jeff.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, originally I actually was one that presented option three about the preserve and putting something there, because in the future we can continue that. But where your location is in A, it still gives us that ability. So I have no, and when you talk about Jeff and the preserve, yeah. So definitely I would go with A.
You would go with the first one. Gary?
They knew him better than I did, I think, and I would just, whatever
defer.
They wish is okay with me.
And I'll share with you that I really gravitated towards the first one only because it is so visible, and that's really where I remember seeing Jeff a lot. So that's just my opinion. I'd love to hear from the public, and I also have an email from one resident. Would anyone like to come up and share their thought about this option, any of the options? Yes, Mr. Bullard.
Public Works Department.
Excuse me?
Somewhere at the Public Works Department, a very visible location from the street and to anyone who comes into the parking lot. That's where it should be, in my opinion. Whatever the memorial plaque or other feature is, I think it should be in the Public Works Department area.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you. Is there anyone else? Okay, I have an email from a resident, two residents, where their preference would be where they can see the memorial as they pass by. It would be option one, or maybe at the lighthouse. So, you know, Mr. Bullard, as much as I appreciate your suggestion, I think that there may be on balance a preference to look at this first option for Mr. Miller. If nobody else has anything to say, and I want to say it was difficult, Jackie, they were all lovely. They really were, and I thank you for that. Would anyone like to make the motion after hearing from all of us?
That's me then.
Yep.
I'd like to make a motion that staff proceed forward with the option number A of placing the tree, et cetera, at Timaquan Oaks Park.
Okay, motion.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes unanimously.
Council, thank you for that. And as we start to work on this and develop it, of course, there'll be, I'm sure, some sort of ceremony, and we'll make sure everyone's invited to that.
Thank you. Thank you, Mike. Okay. 13, we are up to our new business, authorization to execute grant work program agreement with the Florida Department of Environmental Protection for the Adaptation Action Plan. Mike?
Yeah, Patty will present this one.
Okay. Hi, Patty. Thank you.
War Eagle.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Council. Staff request authorization to execute the grant agreement for an Adaptation Action Plan. The Adaptation Action Plan is a continuation of the resiliency work undertaken to date, including the vulnerability assessment completed in 2022 and updated in 2023 by the East Coast Regional Planning Council and the Watershed Management Plan that will be completed this May by the Coastal Water Resources Company. The assessment and plans build upon one another. The vulnerability assessment provided an assessment of the impacts from future sea level rise to critical town assets. The Watershed Management Plan is a specialized vulnerability assessment intended to comply with the National Flood Insurance Community Rating System requirements for Activity 450, Stormwater Management. It concentrates on the town's stormwater drainage system for existing and expected development, various long-duration rainfall events, including the 100-year storm, and projected sea level rise. The Adaptation Action Plan focuses on the most vulnerable low-lying areas by providing strategies to help these areas become more resilient to the effects of sea level rise and flooding. The Adaptation Plan will include assessing adaptive capacities, prioritizing adaptive needs, and identifying adaptation strategies. The Florida Department of Environmental Protection grant funding for $50,000 was approved in the FY 2022-2023 state budget. There are no match funds required by the town of Ponce Inlet, and the grant expiration date is March 31st, 2025.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Patty. I mean, this just, it reflects how hard and the town has worked and how proactive the planning department has been for many years. We did the vulnerability assessment before just about anybody. And I'm so pleased that the adaptation plan will now be put into play. I remember how excited we were when we received the money. Does anyone have any questions on this? No. Is there anyone in our audience with any questions for Patty or council involving this? No. Okay, seeing none, I'll take a motion.
I make a motion to approve the authorization to execute the grant work program agreement with the FDEP for the adoption of the action plan.
Second.
Motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes unanimously. And we are now down to comments, but I do want to acknowledge we have in our office a representative of U.S. Congressman Corey Mills' office, Debbie Phillips. Thank you so much for coming here. We're so appreciative. We're very appreciative of the representative's, his representation of us. So I thank you. Thank you for being here. Vice Mayor Smith, any comments?
I have a couple.
Okay.
And I want to add extra emphasis on what has been said about the sewer, the septic to sewer programs, because I managed a lot of those in Broward County. And talking to the residents and getting them to know what's going to take place and when it's going to take place is paramount. Yep. And the better the job we do there, the smoother it will run. And if we are fortunate enough to ever have two areas going at the same time, it presents all kinds of traffic problems that we need to prepare for. And there are times during this program where people cannot get their cars back into their driveways for a period of time. And we set up alternate parking areas within walking distance to the houses and all kinds of other issues to make it the least painful for the conversion for the residents that are going to benefit from it later. Don't make it miserable for them before they get the good part of it. So at that point.
Anything else?
Yeah.
No. Okay. Council Member Villanella.
Just another productive meeting. Lots of positive information and accomplishments for Pont Sillett.
Thank you, Joe. Councilmember White.
Okay, bear with me. It's been a busy month. First, I want to update you guys from went to the March 5th Volusia County Council meeting. Spent a little bit of time with Jessica, and the good information that came out of that is, again, everybody knows we have all of our easement agreements signed. Army Corps of Engineers has agreed to potentially, I'll use the word potentially until we start seeing it move, but start the program on September 17th of this year, which will be laying the pipes. And then projection originally was not to start pumping sand until early of 2025. Now they're almost committed to start pumping October 24th. So I think that is a very positive thing, 2024. So it's good for all of us here. The other thing that was actually pretty good, the turtle nesting season, of course, starts in May. Volusia County, again, this year has been granted the opportunity and the right to continue working through turtle season. So, again, this is the second year Volusia County has received that authorization, which is very unusual, and hopefully the trend will continue. The big piece that I attended Volusia County meeting for was to find out exactly what's going on with their changing policies of their tolls on the beach and also off-street parking. And bear with me because I'm sure people think, well, why does this pertain to us? But I'll get to that part. What they're looking at doing is going to automated system with the beach ramps and also start charging, which they do not currently do, for off-street beach parking. Automated attendants sound pretty nice, but the problem we're going to have is on high volume beach ramps, we're looking at having automated and also one attendant. The biggest key to this in their whole proposal is that they're looking at going to free tolls for all Volusia County residents, excluding the parks, the beach parks. And what does that mean to Pond's Inlet? But again, I'm happy for Volusia County residents. My fear is that, you know, residents that weren't able to pay the $20, now they're going to say, let's go to the beach. And I'm happy for them on that. So let me clarify that piece of it. The other thing they're looking at doing is increasing the revenue from the non-Volusia County residents, which is fine. But I have a concern, and what I did was actually part of the presentation. The off-street beach parking, they're going to license plate readers, fixed cameras, mobile system devices for smaller lots, credit card kiosk, mobile payments, real-time lot status with the beach app, and complimentary, again, annual parking passes for Volusia County residents. That's for off-street parking. For on-the-beach parking, license plate recognition, fixed LPR cameras, automatic access to low-volume ramps, ramp status on beach app, automated openings and closures of the gates, which I'm not sure how that's going to work, automation and attendance of high-volume ramps, which means, again, our beach ramp here off Beach Street would be automated, plus they would have an attendant. Volusia County has to make up $1.6 million in revenue by opening up free parking for all Volusia County residents. Their idea of doing that is twofold. They're looking at, again, increasing the daily, the weekly, and the yearly passes for non-Volusia County residents. They're also looking at where it starts getting my concern is opening up the gate at the park, the back gate at the park off of Peninsula. And if we think about that, all that traffic that's down there with Hidden Treasures, the lighthouse, the boat ramp, all the other moving parts, I'm very concerned about that. That was not part of the proposal, but I was told that they're thinking about doing that. The reason they haven't done it in the past is because they would have to man that gate. But by being automated, they would not have to do that. So I'm concerned about this because all I see is additional traffic coming into Pond's Inlet where we generate $0 of this tax money, zero. I have a big, big concern about how we will manage the traffic flow from our side streets, from the traffic pattern that's going to happen now, and then free parking. The next meeting is actually April the 2nd. I'll be attending again to see if this passes. They did vote to have the staff go back and put together a program. We were offered, and I did share this with Michael in a meeting a couple weeks ago, we were offered an opportunity to piggyback off of their, I'll say, parking agreement. We could utilize their vendors, if we so choose, of any parking lots that we have. I'm saying we ought to look at that, but also if we do look into that part, I would suggest that the residents of Pond's Inlet do not have to pay for parking. Because what the other concern that Jessica had is that the out-of-state people, the non-Volusia County residents, would take advantage of our free parking. So I would like to make a suggestion and maybe some discussion that we direct staff in a way on this. So can I pause with this one for a second and then move to my, because I would like to see if there's any direction we'd like to give to staff on this, because I'm concerned.
Would you be kind enough to wait until I give my comments, because they actually dovetail with yours,
okay,
and at that point maybe instructions would be more appropriate, if that's okay with you?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. I want us to have some discussion on that topic.
Okay.
The other thing I have is actually spring is here in the summer, and it's vacation rental time. And I've done a lot of homework. I've had several meetings with Mike, and we've had some very productive meetings. And back in 2021, I have a copy of it, we actually sent a letter out to the individuals with rental agreements, reminding them of what our town policy is on rental. We also sent it to some of the management companies. And I think it's time for us to send that letter back out again. Mm-hmm. From my understanding, the last one was actually July 13th, 2021, but that could be changed. But here's some thoughts. I think we ought to resend the courtesy letter reiterating the town of Ponce Inlet's rental regulations. Second, send the letter to every property that has a rental permit. Third, send the letter to every condo HOA/CA board. I actually had another thought on that piece. Maybe if we had David Hooker hand deliver those, since it's local, maybe it'll put a little more teeth to it. The other thing I thought about was sending a letter to the Daytona Beach Area Association of Realtors. They're responsible for the ethics of our realtors. And also send a letter to the brokers that represent the individual companies, because the broker is bound by the same ethics as a real estate agent, where the owner is not bound by those laws. And send also the letter to the state of Florida for the Realtors Board. I had a couple of neighbors that actually asked me some questions the other day about homes that were listed on the market. And so I pulled up, I'll keep it where you can't see it, but I pulled up a couple of homes that are listed, and it says minimum rental. This one says unlimited here in Ponce Inlet. Another one, same thing, minimum rental, unlimited. So I went as far back and said, okay, do these have an HOA or COA? No. So the reason that the seller is not involved is because if they're not part of a HOA or COA, COA, then what happens is they check a box that says no. There's no place on a real estate form that says, what is your rental agreement? What is your town's rental agreement? The only time they'd have to fill that out is if they were part of a HOA. So I think if we get the real estate agents involved and make them understand it is an ethics violation, we can't do anything about an ethics violation, but you would think that the Realtors Association could monitor that. And if nothing else, send a fear of God to them that we're copying the state. I just think that's very important. The last thing I have, I did attended two webinars, and Kim, this one's for you. Kim McCall, she's already left, darn. One of them was actually about budgeting, and it is budget season, so I dearly love budget season, and I did attend that webinar, and I picked up some pretty good tips, so I'm sorry Kim's not in there. The last one, I did attend the webinar for the Florida post-legislation session. I have a lot of questions, and that's for a later date, and Michael, I'll be scheduling time to come see you, but there's some things in there that potentially could affect the town. And one I wrote down on the back of the piece of paper right here. When the gentleman got up and talked about the EVs, and actually that was part of the topic, Senate Bill 1084, we need to take a look at that, because actually it's listed as an ag bill. And that really caught my attention, because Volusia, Florida League of Cities, has never really gotten involved in an ag bill. But as they reviewed it, there was actually part of the bill was on EVs, and it did pass. And the state, from my understanding, is now totally responsible for anything we do in our town as far as EVs. And it will supersede. Now, that was my understanding. So I would like for us to take a look at that bill and take it up. And the last thing is again, I want to say thanks to the staff, town council, and the residents for all your support. Thank you.
Well, hang on, Skip. Thank you for all of that homework and that work that you did on the short-term rentals. Is this something that you would feel, you have a lot of ideas. Is that something that you would feel comfortable in sitting down with our manager with your ideas? I don't know if it needs to come back to us per se.
Yes.
It may, but you just gave quite a nice list of suggestions.
Yeah, and again, Michael and I'm sorry, I always call you Michael. Michael and I had sat down probably about 4 weeks ago and discussed this, and I said I'd like to bring it before the council just to discuss it. I'd be more than happy to sit down with Michael and go over step by step. I think that'd be wonderful.
Well, I would like to implement some of the things that you said. They sounded very smart, and it sounded like it would help us move forward. But maybe, Cliff, can you remind us of how the First Amendment protects saying that you can at least advertise short-term rentals in an area where...
Sadly, we have trouble with any kind of messages in terms of control of them. We control types of signs in terms of whether they're wooden, paper, neon, and so forth, size and location, but not message. So even if the message is an illegal one, unless it rises to the level of pornographic, which is, as the court has said, in the eyes of the beholder, and I know it when I see it type of stuff, we can't really control what's on those flyers. We could certainly let them know that their information is false and that they might be, someone might find their misleading advertisements a basis for a lawsuit against them, but it's not based on what we would regulate.
Okay. But we could still put that out there in our verbiage as a, I'll say, a warning shot. Okay.
That's great. And we'll circle back to the parking.
Okay, gotcha.
Bill?
Yeah. I'm not going to piggyback on what you said, because what you said, you know how I feel about it. So I'm going to leave it alone, and hopefully Mike and Skip can work something out. I did see the new law that they changed, the 2011 to 2016, but even that sets me back, because it's been continual. Because for some reason, once they hit the panhandle, they think they know better than everybody else of what's happening in South Florida, Central Florida, and that's why we keep losing our ability at home rule. Yep. Volusia League of Cities has fought for that for years and years. We just got an award concerning the things that we've done, and we're not getting anywhere, because somewhere along the line they started putting earplugs in their ears on what the citizens of the state of Florida actually need. But that's my soapbox for today. I like to do the good news.
Thanks, Bill.
You just skip. But just to let you know, we were one, again, probably the thousandth time I've said this, we were one of the first municipalities in Volusia County to buy into the First Help Shelter. You heard what Jim said. Again, thank you, Ponce Inlet. But last year I gave a number that said 90% of the people that actually make it through the shelter are still in housing. We just got the new numbers. 94% of the people that complete the program in the shelter are now still in housing, and we just passed 250,000 meals that we've served since December 2019 to February 2024. And we've had 1,225 people go through the shelter or enter the shelter or enter the safe zone. You heard the part about the new law and the homeless that Jim mentioned, Mr. Cameron, the gentleman who spoke at the beginning. It's going to change a lot of things. Ponce Inlet, because the fact we are part of the safe zone, has already our location for people to go to in the evening. We already have our tent area, and that's the safe zone at the shelter. So one more time, thank you, the citizens of Ponce Inlet, the town council, and for the people that have been successful in the shelter. It's because of people like you, and I thank you. That's it?
Okay. Well, Skip shared with us about the proposed change in parking by the county, and also you'll see that in our town manager's report. Mike provided us with a brief update from the County Council's March 5th meeting as well about proposed changes to off-beach parking. Fees for all county-owned parking areas, such as Winter Haven Park, along with Lighthouse Drive, may be imposed. And what I'm concerned about, and as also voiced by other council members here, is the concern is this is going to result in a significant spill over onto our side streets by visitors who prefer to park for free, and they could still walk to the beach from our side streets. I'd like us to get ahead of this potential congestion on our streets, the inconvenience it would most likely cause to our residents, and also the concern I have as obstacles for emergency vehicles going down our narrow streets. So I asked our attorneys to research the parameters of permitted parking restrictions within our town and to ascertain whether a municipality is able to regulate parking restrictions on public rights of ways. And I learned the following. We have jurisdiction under the Florida statutes over all our public streets. We can enact ordinances to establish parking regulations, which may include a permitting system. Now, what I'm looking for from the council, and this is what I think you're looking for also, Skip, is I'm seeking a consensus of this council for our staff to provide us with our options for parking restrictions and permitting systems. Look into it, provide us with what we're able to do, because I don't think we've asked that question before. Does that cover what you would like as well, Skip?
Absolutely.
Do we have a consensus?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yes?
Sure.
Yes. Yes? Okay. And Cliff, I want to thank you and your office for doing the research and providing such comprehensive information. So thank you.
No problem.
Okay. The other thing, our legislative session's over in Tallahassee, and two bills we've had our eyes on did not pass that I want to point out. One involved in increasing the limits of sovereign immunity, and another would have required a supermajority for an increase in the millage rate. They did not pass, but we're told to expect that the bills will be refiled next year. A bill that would have done away with our local business tax also failed, and we're very happy about that because that certainly would have had a significant impact on us. Several bills which were passed and they're sitting on the governor's desk will require study by our staff and our attorneys if the governor does in fact sign them into law. These include changes to our residential permitting process and requirements for adopting ordinances. Another concern is a homestead CPI adjustment, which will be on the ballot in November. So the impact of these things will be shared with us once they're analyzed, assuming the governor signs them into law. Now, once again, our grandfathered short-term rental ordinance protected us at the local level. But on the state level, significant changes involve advertising platforms such as Airbnb and VRBO and their regulation by the DBPR. So there's more to come on that. And several other bills are awaiting the governor's review, and once there is a decision for his approval or veto, I will have more information to share on that, or the staff will. Last, I do want to express publicly my appreciation to the Citizens for Ponce Inlet editor, Lauren Albinson, and all the board and committee members for the professional and outstanding work that they have been doing, not only on their website, but the newsletter. All of you hopefully had the opportunity to receive it and read through it, because in addition to the reporting from our town manager, department heads, our volunteer organizations and clubs, they now have content provided by U.S. Congressman Corey Mills, State Representative Chase Tremont, and our County Councilman Matt Reinhart. We are receiving information from all areas that impact our lives. We're receiving from the federal level, the state level, from the county, from our staff, from the council. So I am just most appreciative to this organization as a source of information for us. So that's it. And I will now turn to Mike Disher for a report from our town manager.
Hey, thank you. Yeah, the laws, the flurry of laws every year presents somewhat of a challenge to us because it's really changing the rules of the game, how we operate as a town. You know, this year, we're thankful for a lot of the laws that didn't pass. It's only a 60-day window that the legislators have to work with. There were, I believe, something like 1,900 bills that got filed, and out of those, like 325 or so actually passed. Some may come back. Some it takes several years ago to get through. The sovereign immunity bill, that's the second time this has been proposed. And so we can expect it to come back later if the political sponsors and the will is there behind it. Regarding the sewers, I just wanted to mention, thank Mr. Bullard for his ideas. Of course, that's something that we're going to do. It was only a few months ago that we were lobbying our legislators for just one phase of this project. We were seeking an appropriation. But then we found out about this grant opportunity, and now it looks like we can get the whole thing. But that's going to cause us to want to go back and you know, decide what gets done first. You know, that hasn't been worked out yet, but that will be. Between now and when they start construction, that's something that we'll work through and, of course, notify the residents that that's coming. The project has to be put out to bid, so none of that has happened yet, but that's a work in progress. Speaking of our legislative delegation, we found out recently that our legislators came through for us again, and they have put our requests for our legislative appropriation for our two generators into the state budget. So we're very happy with that. That's a total of $62,500 for replacement generators at Public Works and the fire station. Of course, they were able to do that for us last year, but then it got vetoed by the governor. So this is all pending, you know, the review by the governor and his veto pen. So if it gets vetoed, then we're back to where we started. Then we'll need to start looking at other options, maybe doing one of those, you know, ourselves in the budget, because they do need replacement. Okay. Yeah, and sort of another project this town has been very interested in, has been talking about a long time, is our sidewalk project on South Peninsula. Last year, the town entered into an interlocal agreement with Volusia County to handle the design and construction and project administration for us. The town's share through the TPO is 15%, which we would be paid for in full by fully funding the design of this project. The county is now ready to start that process. They are going to start their survey work, hopefully have that wrapped up in May. It won't take long, so it'll be like between April and May. They're going to be doing their survey work. Notices will go out to residents ahead of time before that happens. Once this survey work is done, then they will start actual design of the project. That's going to be done in June. So once that begins, we do anticipate meeting with residents up and down the corridor just to hear their concerns about it. And we want to get this thing done first. We want to get the design done, and then I believe construction funding is scheduled for 2026. So where that dovetails into the sewer is we're going to be starting the sewer first, and then the actual construction of the sidewalk will come in later in a couple years. So, all right, and then two more things. Let's see, we have Ponce Inlet Police Department will host a women's self-defense class for Ponce Inlet residents on Tuesday, April 9th at the community center. I understand we already have quite a number of people that have signed up for that, but if you want to participate, then you contact Chief Scales. And then the last thing, we had a meeting recently with our auditors, and it looks like we're going to have another perfect audit this year. Their auditors will be presenting, next month at next month's council meeting. They are based in North Carolina, though, so it'll be a virtual presentation like it was last year, but they'll be able to answer questions from the council that time. So we're very happy for that, very happy for the diligent work by our finance staff to make that happen.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Mike. Cliff, is there anything from our town attorney?
Yes, Mayor. I am a strong advocate for a legislative Hippocratic oath. First, do no harm. So that any session that we come out of where they haven't done harm to us as local governments is a good session. So the fact that nothing happened that hurt us, good. I want to talk about a Supreme Court case that came out on March 15th, Lentke versus Freed. This is not just for you guys. This is for staff also. If you're a department head, a town manager, for example, a fire official, for example, a police chief, for example, a head of public works, all of you who have social media, who are in government, listen up. The case was involving a city manager, and the city manager had a Facebook page. It could have been LinkedIn. It could have been any other social media page. Doesn't matter. And on that page, he mixed both his personal stuff in his life with what was going on with the government that he represented as a city manager. During the COVID stuff, his town or city had adopted certain measures, which, not shockingly in this world, some people found great and other people found very offensive because they were restrictions on freedom. And those who found them restriction on freedom took to his Facebook page to point that out in colorful language, which he found offensive. He then deleted those comments and blocked those people from posting on his page.
As a result, that one of those folks, that would be Linke, brought a lawsuit, said his First Amendment rights were violated because the city manager's page was a public forum, because he had used it to talk about government business as well as his own personal life, and that by keeping him from saying what he wanted to say in that government space, the Facebook page, that he had violated First Amendment. A lower court disagreed and ruled in favor of the manager and said, no, that's social media, that's just the way that is. The Circuit Court of Appeals also agreed, and then it went to the U.S. Supreme Court, who, not surprisingly, disagreed. Not surprisingly, because pretty much if the ruling makes great sense to me, it usually does not make sense to the Supreme Court that we have up there today. And what did they rule, and how does it affect you? First, it is that if you are using your social media presence, I'm calling it a page, but again, whatever you want to call it, and you are a official who has actual authority to speak for the government, and that's why departments matter. Mr. Scales not be able to speak for the town, but he might be able to speak for the fire department. Chief Glazier may not be able to speak for the town, but he might be able to speak for the police department. You speak for the town. You all potentially speak for the town. So if you have actual authority to speak for the town on your social media accounts, and you are using your social media accounts for the posting of official business or official government business, then your accounts can be seen as public forums subject to First Amendment protections by all those commenting, so that if you have comments turned on and comments are made that either are vicious, mean, profane, whatever, they stay on. Or you risk a lawsuit like the poor city manager here found himself in. So the first question the court applies is, did the official have actual authority to speak? And that's why the departments matter, and that's why your positions matter. The second question is, were you acting in an official capacity if you blocked someone or deleted a comment from someone? And that's where the argument gets more nuanced. One of the things that the Supreme Court pointed to is that if you had identified, or if the manager identified as, this is my personal page, everything here is personal information from me and reflects my personal opinion, is not the opinion or official position of the city or any of that stuff, then the result might have been different. But it didn't have that disclaimer. Both kinds of misinformation were on there, and so they said a court now has to sort through it all and figure out, was it reasonable for the person making the comment who got blocked to assume that this was a public forum and he was being treated badly? And likely the outcome will be that that will be found to have been a public forum, and the city manager will ultimately lose the damages portion of the case as well, if it gets that far and doesn't settle. And the last thing, again, a part of the possible way to resolve this is, if you have a page that you use for both business, government business, and personal, you probably need to either get rid of one or create two. So the personal page, clearly disclaiming this is personal, that way if there are comments, nasty things, whatever you want to do, and you want to keep them off, you can. But your government page, you have to allow them if you're going to allow comments at all. So you can't pick and choose. That is why you will recall, perhaps, and maybe some of you won't because it's been a while, that when we started going through these whole advent of social media things, my suggestion strongly was, don't allow commenting at all, because rather than choosing what's good and what's bad, you just simply say, I'm putting information out, I'm not accepting any comments, I'm not taking sides, no comments. And so those are still good guidelines to go by, but the idea that your own social media, even if all you're trying to do in your capacity is just an elected official or an employee, is provide good information to the public, means you open yourself up for this kind of a claim, and so you should be aware.
Cliff, thank you very much. Does anyone have any questions for Cliff? No? Okay. We are now down to our final citizen participation, and as you know, this is for 2 minutes, and Your comments should be directed to what you just heard, the council comments, town manager, and our attorney. Yes, Mr. Bullard.
Robert Bullard, 4802 South Peninsula Drive, Ponce Inlet. No sidewalk paving now. Sidewalk master plan incorporated in the entire sewer installation process, showing the sidewalks new the day the sewers are put in, then the sidewalks are put in. The sidewalk in front of my house is the second sidewalk that has been built at town expense. The first one was torn up for a force main. Town went back and put in the new sidewalk. So I don't think it's a good idea to put any new sidewalks in anywhere unless somebody's going to fall down or there's a major problem with the sidewalk. Three areas of the Inlet Harbor Road, the Ponce Union Circle sidewalk, were cracked badly by Weber when he did the water main installation. It's still transitable. If we want to go down and fix 3 or 4 feet of where Weber's equipment broke it, fine. But let's don't put in new sidewalks at this point. Now I'm going to go to Skip. I think we need to think about the options for us setting up our own toll gate on South Peninsula Drive at the entry to the park and see how that works. Tell the county, it's our deal. We're going to set up a toll gate. We'll operate the gate there. We'll see if there's any interest in that. Thank you.
Thank you, Robert.
Can I make one comment, please? Mm-hmm. Can I make one comment?
Of course.
You sound just like my wife, Jane. That's exactly what she told me.
Well, that's a compliment.
Yes, it is.
I've never had anyone say I sounded like a
you
woman.
Did. You did. 100%.
Thank
same
you.
Words.
Thank you, Robert. Are there any other comments? Yes.
Terry Woodruff, 4495 South Atlantic, Unit 1040. I would just like to personally thank Skip for volunteering to work with Mike Disher on the rental properties at situation. I've been here a few times, talked to you all, and I'm feeling a little hopeful. There is one thing that I would like to suggest, and is that potentially the town request that the HOAs, the COAs, post on property the rental property restrictions. And here's why. It's 2 pages is all you would have to require. I don't know if you can require them to, but suggest that they do it. There's some units in our building for sale. I was standing outside talking to somebody the other day. A realtor walked by and with a potential client, and the person asked, are there rental restrictions in this building? And the realtor said, no, that's the great thing about Eastwind, is they don't have anything in their condo docs, sorry, that concerning rentals. Never mentioning that the town had an ordinance and that we weren't allowed to rent less than 28 consecutive days. So that's just a suggestion.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else? Yes, Charles.
Charles Bird, 4670 Links Village Drive, Unit B702. Mr. Milano, you're absolutely correct. Tallahassee is way out of touch. Tallahassee, okay? The last couple of things that they passed, the right to work at home. I got a guy painting on his balcony every day, sand and stuff. Allowed to do that now. So my question is, all the things that Tallahassee passed that violate our home rule stuff is, you know, detrimental to us that live here. That's the first thing. The second thing is, Mr. White, In reading that bill with the EVs, is that going in any way prevent the town from passing or legislating an ordinance like I asked for, just to have EV signs posted in HOAs and condominium associations?
I will leave that up to our attorney.
Yeah, I think that question is more appropriately directed to Cliff. We would have to work our way to the place where we're looking at an ordinance. So, you know, we'll make sure that it wouldn't conflict with state statutes.
Well, I don't know what this new bill, what's an ag? Is that agricultural bill?
It was buried in the agriculture.
So it was buried in there. So thank God somebody read it, first of all. Second of all, you know, if they're, I don't know what that says, but I don't think they're really interested in saving people's lives or helping people out that have to perform jobs in toxic environments. But thank you.
Thank you, Charles. Anyone else? Yes.
Don't forget Easter egg hunt next Saturday, the 30th. Davies Park. It's a great function to watch these kids.
Thank you, Bill. Okay, I think that we are done, and we are at 3:50 adjourned. Thank you, everyone, for coming.